Obeying Dr. Clifton's instructions, I spent 2 days in bed, eating and sleeping and reading Sherlock Holmes. I confess I overdosed on my prescribed treatment, gulping down one story after another. Before the end of the second day, Judith had been down to the library and fetched another volume of Conan Doyle for me. She had grown suddenly kind toward me since my collapse. "And has she never said anything about the 13th tale?" she asked me wistfully one day. "Not a word. And to you?" She shook her head. "Never." "It's strange, isn't it? After all she's written, that the most famous story of all is one that might not even exist." And then with a new tone, "So what do you make of Dr. Clifton, then?" When Dr. Clifton dropped by to see how I was doing, his eye alighted on the volumes by my bedside. He said nothing, but his nostrils twitched. On the third day, feeling as frail as a newborn, I got up. As I pulled the curtains apart, my room was flooded with a fresh, clean light. Outside, a brilliant, cloudless blue stretched from horizon to horizon, and beneath it the garden sparkled with frost. Blinking in the brilliance, I felt something like life begin to move sluggishly in my veins. I could judge how much better I was by the fact that my thoughts turned not to the treasures of Miss Winter's library, but to her own story. I retrieved my pile of paper, neglected since the day of my collapse, and brought it back to the warmth of the hearth where, with Shadow by my side, I spent the best part of the daylight hours reading. I read and I read and I read, discovering the story all over again, reminding myself of its puzzles, mysteries, and secrets. But there were no revelations. At the end of it all, I was as baffled as I had been before I started. Had someone tampered with John the Digg's ladder? But who? And what was it that Hester had seen when she thought she saw a ghost? And more inexplicable than all the rest, how had Adeline, that violent vagabond of a child, unable to communicate with anyone but her slow-witted sister, and capable of careless destruction, developed into Miss Winter, the self-disciplined author of dozens of best-selling novels? Despite my absorption in my notes, I couldn't help wondering why I hadn't seen Miss Winter. Each time I asked after her, Judith gave me the same reply. "She is with Miss Emmeline." Until evening, when she came with a message from Miss Winter herself. Was I feeling well enough to read to her for a while before supper? When I went to her, I found a book, Lady Audley's Secret, on the table by Miss Winter's side. I opened it at the bookmark and read. But I had only read a chapter when I stopped, sensing that she wanted to talk to me. "What did happen that night?" Miss Winter asked. "The night you fell ill?" I was nervously glad to have an opportunity for explanation. I already knew Emmeline was in the house. I had heard her at night. I had seen her in the garden. I found her rooms. Then on that particular night I brought someone to see her. Emmeline was startled. The last thing I intended was to frighten her, but she was taken by surprise when she saw us and— My voice caught in my throat.
"This is not your fault, you know. Don't alarm yourself. The wailing and the nervous collapse. It is something I and Judith and the doctor have seen many times before. If anyone is to blame, it is me, for not letting you know sooner that she was here. I have a tendency to be overprotective. I was foolish not to tell you." She paused. "Do you intend to tell me who it was you brought with you?"
"Emmeline had a baby," I said. "That's the person who came with me. The man in the brown suit." Miss Winter looked at me with interest.
"You are doing very well, Margaret. Better than I thought. The trouble is, the timing of this story is getting rather out of hand. We are getting ahead of ourselves."
She paused, staring into her palm, then looked straight at me.
"I said I meant to tell you the truth, Margaret. And I do. But before I can tell you, something must happen first. It is going to happen, but it has not happened yet. If you are not too tired, why don't you come and see Emmeline this evening?"